Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, that we belong to you, Lord, that we are instruments, O God, that you mean to use powerfully by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. You mean to unveil us, O God, before you, Father, so that we will walk before you and be blameless, so that we will truly draw upon you who are the Almighty and All-Sufficient One. We thank you that you mean for us to be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, that we will be unveiled under the shadow of the Almighty, that we will come forth, O God, as your chosen vessels, able to do those things that you have ordained for your life in your sovereign will. We pray for the move of the Holy Spirit to be manifested in each one of our lives, so that what has been given will be brought forth alive in us and manifested, O God, through all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. Unfold, O God, the ministry and the gift mix that you have given us, O God. Unfold, O God, the inward operations by which, O God, you have designed us to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Even as we stand before you, O God, as your own sons, O God. Even as we stand before you, O God, in the reality, O God, of the conviction of our hearts, Lord. Even as we stand before you in the name of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Make us, O God, those chosen instruments that you want us to be. Enable us to stand before you, O God, in accordance with all that you have written in your holy word. Enable us to understand, O God, that we have a position before you in the merits of the Lamb. It's a position that you have called us to know and to understand and to develop, O God, by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. To realize, O God, that in the name of Jesus, O God, we have all things that you want to bring forth in our lives. Let it come forth, O Lord, so that we will realize these realities by your Holy Spirit, so that we will be a blessing as you have designed us to be, Father, from the foundations of the world. We thank you that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made, that in Christ Jesus this reality, O God, is being brought to fruition in each one of our lives. It is an awesome work that your Spirit has undertaken to manifest in us, Lord. We thank you that the blueprint is Jesus Christ, Father. We thank you that we are being manifested in his image and in his fullness. We pray that we will be fashioned and formed in his character, in his nature, that we will truly have the faith and love of Jesus as a possession, as an inheritance in our hearts, that we will have the heart and mind, O God, of Christ, O God, within us, Lord, that we will be in his image and in his fullness, O God, in his likeness, O God, a blessing to you, that we will truly have the witness and testimony of Jesus alive in us, growing in us by the Holy Spirit, so that we will each learn to perfectly function by the Holy Spirit in accordance with your holy will. We thank you for the great design and the awesome purpose that you have for each and every one of us who are part and parcel of the body of Christ. We thank you for the glory of your grace. We thank you, O God, for the kind intentions of your will. We thank you, O God, for the mystery of Christ being revealed in us so that we may unfold as sons of the Most High God. We bless you and thank you for all that you have purposed, O God. We thank you that we are morning stars, O God, being unveiled in the image of him who is called the bright morning star. We thank you for your prophetic purpose with all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of moving into ministry. This is module 9. And today we want to talk about spiritual giftings. So turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and it reads, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." If we take verse 6 and read it from the Old King James Bible, this is what it reads. "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." The same God who worketh all in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, 5, and 6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. That comes out of the New King James Bible. In these three verses, God has defined how we are called to function. You remember that we started this series on moving into ministry from a passage taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 10. And in this verse, Peter gives us the picture of what we are called to minister. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we minister the gift that God has given us. In reality, we have a gift mix. And it's a gift mix that will grow as God develops us by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. There's nothing static about God's purpose and God's ministry in our lives. God starts with something, but He continues to build us in all eternity. We all must understand that we are called to minister the gift mix that we are in the process of receiving and realizing and expressing. So in 1 Corinthians, in verse 4 and 5, we are actually reading the same thing. There are diversities of gifts. So if you have a gift mix, it's going to be made up of a diversity of gifts. And those gifts are manifested by the Holy Spirit. Those gifts are going to be manifested by the Holy Spirit. Now the purpose of the gifts is because there is a ministry that God wants to bring forth from our lives. And so it says there are a variety of ministries, right? The King James Bible writes, there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. Right? Now the word Lord there refers to Jesus Christ. So if you look at verse 3, it says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now this defines how we minister. We minister in the name of Jesus Christ. And we minister by the Holy Spirit in the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. Right? So we minister the gift. We minister the gift in the name of Jesus Christ. We minister the gift by the Holy Spirit. We minister the gift by the Holy Spirit. Right? So if you look at Romans chapter 8 verse 2, this is the law of life. The law of the Spirit of life will set you free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the spirit, from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. Now all ministry is involved with releasing people from the law of sin and death so that they may rise into the purpose that God has for them. But this manifests as a law of life. A law of life that is brought forth by the Holy Spirit, but always in Christ Jesus. So the ministry that you are called to develop is part of your life. It is part of your life. Your life is designed to develop you as a vessel of the living God. Because without that purpose, there is no purpose to life. So God has brought us forth as ministers of the new covenant. And we read that from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. That we are all ministers of the new covenant. Since the new covenant is open to all of us, we are all called to understand that from the tablets of our heart, God is designing us to be ministers of the new covenant. Now we are ministers of the new covenant by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. The ministry stands in the name of Jesus Christ. His lordship must be proclaimed from the ministry that we unveil. The ministry is released in a gift mix that is entirely orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And we must understand this very clearly. So we minister the gift mix that God has given us. And that gift mix stands in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. It is manifested by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings out the functions. But verse 6 tells us something more. And I like how it's expressed in the Old King James Bible. And this is what it reads. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Diversities of operations. God wants to build within each one of us an operating system that ties us to Him. Now He's talking here about God the Father. We stand before God the Father in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So our inward parts, right? Yes, we minister in the name of Jesus. Yes, we minister the gift mix, but we always stand in the conviction of being before God our Father. And we function according to how God has ordained the operating system within us. There are a diversity of operations. Now you and I are called to understand how God has fashioned us and formed us so that we will be able to function the way God wants us to function. So we have an inward operating system. And that inward operating system God has designed peculiar to each one of us. Peculiar to each one of us. And it says, it is the same God who works all in all. Now if you read the Amplified Version, you will find that the word for work is defined as both inspire and energize. So your inward parts are inspired and energized by God into operation so that you can minister the gift mix that God has given you. Now that inward reality, that inward design of your operating system that is inspired and energized stands before God the Father. Are you with me? This is very important. Now the reality of standing before God the Father is introduced to us in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. Here in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 to 3, God tells Abram, I am El Shaddai, or I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. So walking is a function, right, defined in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Walk before me and be blameless. If you walk before God, you will be blameless. God has chosen that is the basis on which He will build us and develop us into what He wants us to be. So your task as a Christian is to find out how God wants to operate through you. How God wants to operate through you in a peculiar intimacy that He wants to develop in your inward parts. And as you function by the Lord your God, as you function before the Father in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, you will come to fall in love with the Lord your God so that He will truly be Lord in your heart, that you will come to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Unless you learn how to function by God, you are not going to fall in love with God. You can't just fall in love with an imaginary God. He has to be someone tangible to your life. Someone you live, move, and have your being in. And you need to find that out. You are a human being. You have been created with design and function from the heart of God. Only in the heart of God is the real picture of who you are and who I am. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That is God's purpose with us. That is God's idea over each one of us. And this operating system that God wants to manifest in us, this diversity of operations, this complex operation that God wants to develop within you and me, is entirely according to His design. It is His sovereign will over your life. You are His son, whether you're male or you're female. You are His son. You have a position before you. Right? A position that He has ordained over your life. It is your job to discover what God has ordained over your life. It is part of your Christian life. The purpose of salvation is so that you will discover what you are designed to be in God.
Salvation is more than just being saved. Saved for what? Saved to do what? Without purpose, a man dies, isn't it? Have you seen how retired people decay and die so quickly? Without purpose, a man has got nothing to live for. So it's fundamental for us to understand that we are ministers, right? We first minister to God, which is why the operating system stands before God our Father. Because hallowed be thy name is the fundamental premise on which our inward parts function before God. If you don't hallow the Father, you have no position before him. So when the prophetic word is spoken over your life, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. That the prophetic word has been planted in your heart, right? So that the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Now, what is that morning star designed to manifest? It is designed to manifest the glory of God's grace. And the glory of God's grace is meant to be expressed in worship of the living God. Hallowed be thy name. And that is the premise on which your inward parts are designed to operate. Your inward parts are designed to operate by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. But your inward parts are designed to stand before the living God, worshiping him. So that everything you do in your ministry will always be a proclamation of the God whom you worship in spirit and in truth. You are designed for that. That design is in the heart of the Father. And so God wants to bring forth that complex operation within you, right? So that you will be able to become the vessel that he wants you to be. So we have to draw that out through the word of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. In whose image are you fearfully and wonderfully made? In the image of Jesus Christ. How are you meant to function in this image and fullness of Jesus Christ? You're meant to function by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ functioned by the Holy Spirit perfectly. Jesus functioned by the Holy Spirit so that he could always stand in a reality of being alive to his Father. So before he raised Lazarus up, he said, I know you always hear me. Right? I know you always hear me. Right? He knows that. How does he know that? He knows that from the insides that he has. That his inward parts are alive to God. So Jesus Christ is the blueprint for a new man. That's why theologically we speak of Jesus Christ as the true man. He is the blueprint for a new you and a new me. He's a blueprint for a new human race. The sons of God. He came as a son of man. But he is called forth to unveil us as sons of God. A chosen people. A bride for the Lamb. So this operating system is what we need to talk about. And understand very clearly. Because so many people think that once you're gifted, you just have to function in the gifting. But that operating system within you is very clearly and very carefully and very precisely defined. And we need to understand how it is defined. It is defined to stand before the Father. It is designed to worship God through the life that you live. That's why theologians tell us that ultimately worship is a lifestyle. A lifestyle means a life that is lived. When you live, you function. You function first by ministering to God. When you function by ministering to God, you have your bearings before God. Right? If you look at yourself as a morning star, if you imagine that God is at the center of everything else, his throne is at the center of everything else, and you are occupying an orbit. Right? I'm just using a carnal picture to try and show you that you have a place before God. You are tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. That is a position God has given each one of us. It's a secret place. It is meant for you. That secret place has a function that God wants to open in your inward parts. So David writes in Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may ascend into the mount of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So, your inward parts, your heart stands before God. Your heart stands before God. Like as if you were a living being standing before God in a position that God has ordained for you before Him. Right? And you are called to function in that position. That's why the Bible says you are blessed in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. Why the heavenly places? Because that is the place of authority that God wants to unveil His sons. But that position of authority stands only in the name of Jesus. So what did Jesus say when He, in Matthew chapter 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. So if you and I are going to stand there, we have to stand there in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what is your ministry defined in? It is defined in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you have got no ministry in the abiding. Hello? If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you have absolutely no ministry in the abiding. All right. And if Jesus Christ is your Lord, then the next thing is you will learn how to do all things by the Holy Spirit. Because all function in God comes out of the Spirit of the living God. So your inward parts are very powerful. Your inward parts are very powerful. Your inward parts arising from your heart, out of your innermost being, or out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. How big is a river? Rivers of living water. That's a pretty big picture, flowing out of a very small body. Right? God is giving you a spiritual picture of what the sons of God are going to be like. And so He says in Isaiah 54, stretch out your tents, for the nations will come into the tent of your rising, isn't it? Powerful pictures in the prophets about the sons of God. And God is in the process of building each one of us to stand in those high positions. Why are we teaching this? Because it's so important for us not to be confined to what we see around us and live as if we are stuck with the mediocrity of the world. We must understand that we are predestined for greatness. Not in ourselves, but in the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are predestined for greatness by the Spirit in Jesus' name before God our Father. That is God's design for you and me. And our heart is designed to function in that reality. So the fulfillment of the law begins with you and me loving God our Father. Loving God the Son, loving God the Holy Spirit with all of our heart. Why? Because your heart puts you in right perspective before God. So watch over your heart. Watch what goes into it. Watch what is manifested in it. Don't let carnal desire and carnal ambition destroy your heart. Because once your heart is right, then your soul will be transformed. And then your mind will think right. And then you will have strength of position in God. You're predestined to be sons of God. You're predestined to stand in an awesome and powerful perspective. So in these three verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, 5, and 6, God is defining our functionality in a triune reality. We function in a triune God. There's no such thing as just functioning by the Holy Spirit. You function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and you always function in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit before God the Father. Always. There is always a triune witness in which we must always be alive to God. So if you read the New King James Bible, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, it says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. One. And there are three that bear witness on earth, spirit, water, and blood. And the three are one. Spirit, water, and blood is the witness of the cross. Spirit, water, and blood is the witness of the cross. And your inward operating system functions in the witness that God gave you out of the cross. spirit, water, and blood. Amen. That witness was opened with Jesus Christ declaring, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That witness was consecrated by Jesus Christ proclaiming, it is finished. You listening? What was Jesus Christ describing on the cross? The witness by which you and I will function before God as sons. That witness that overcame all of man's evil. That witness that was invested with resurrection power, so that there will be a power that works within you and me continuously online. In an age of supercomputers, we are so impressed with online systems. You are designed to be online with the living God. That's amazing. That's why the Bible says you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your heart is your central processing unit. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So David writes Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, he who has a pure heart will ascend into the mount of the Lord, or the hill of the Lord. Same Hebrew word. When God announced his name as Yahweh Yireh, it said, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Same Hebrew word is used by David in Psalm 24, verse 3. He who has a pure heart, he will ascend into the mount of the Lord. Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2, that you will be established in the tent of the Lord. That your heart can actually stand in the reality of being tabernacled before God continuously. You're listening? We've done all this teaching before in our earlier tapes, right? Now, to hook on to this reality, you remember Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. He who sets his hope on the Lord Jesus Christ anchors his heart behind the veil, right? Simple word, hope. Right? 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. He who sets his hope on the Lord Jesus Christ purifies himself even as he is pure. So if you want a pure heart, fix your hope on Jesus Christ. And you will have a pure heart. It will take time, but it will come forth. And the purpose for that pure heart is so that you will see God functionally. That you will see who you are in God. You will understand what God has called you to be. You will understand what He wants you to become. That you will understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Powerful. Being a Christian is an awesome reality. Powerful, guys. But everything within us is developed in a triune witness. You are designed for God. You can only discover who you are when you have found God. And as you discover God, you will find out what you are and how God has designed you to be. And He will unveil you as a tabernacle of His glory. A tabernacle of His presence. A tabernacle where He will unveil Himself to you. And you need to understand that your inward parts are designed to function in this reality. Praise the Lord. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are blessed in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit has to make that functional for you. And that has to unveil as a reality that worships God continually in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. Praise the Lord. Now, all this is the workmanship of God. All right? So you have to just wait on God and let Him do the work. When I say wait on God, doesn't mean you go to bed and go to sleep. Walk into the things God has opened for you step by step. And step by step, God will build your inward parts and make them more and more sensitive to God. Praise the Lord. So remember the words. There are a diversity of gifts that God is in the process of developing in your life. Don't look at them today and think that what I have today is what I will have forever. That is not how it works. life implies groweth. When Jesus says, I am the life, God is in the process of manifesting that life and developing that life inside of you. That life has got function. The function is called a ministry. We are going to be a kingship that lives by servanthood. Not a kingship that lives by lording it over people. If you look at the Greek word for ministry, it also means service. So ministry is servanthood. Function. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for you to understand this and know this, right? That you minister to God first and then you minister to man in that reality. All right? So your inward parts are designed for that. That's one of the reasons why we emphasize worship here. So that you will always understand that worship is the fundamental reality in which your inward parts find their right bearings before God. You can only find your right bearings before God if you bow down and worship Him. The more you can bow down before God, the more He will be God to you. The more you can bow down before God, the more He will be God to you. If you want to stand in authority, you bow before God. That's how authority manifests. If you make God the be-all and end-all of your life, He can trust you with anything. But if you don't make God the be-all and end-all of your life, how can He trust you for anything? Right? We've already seen what happened to Lucifer. Right? Faith gone wrong. Right? Can faith go wrong? Yes. Faith can manifest a deception too. That's why you must have faith in God. That's why God says, without faith it is impossible to please me. But that faith must be on the fact that I am. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at a couple of verses, okay, talking about this operating system, okay? All right, let's go back to the prophets. Let's turn to, I'm just going to take these at random, okay? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. That is describing everything that takes place inside of you. Right? You must be humble and contrite and tremble at God's word. Obviously, we don't know anything about trembling at God's word. Because if we actually trembled at God's word, we will be very different, isn't it? But that is something that God has to manifest inside of you. Are you with me? But the key, right? The key is to humble yourself before God. What is God looking for? He's looking for a house where He may rest. Listening? If you look at the Jewish calendar, you will find that the Jewish calendar is structured on sevens, right? And every seven is a Sabbath rest, right? The Jewish calendar is built into cycles of 50 years. And every 7 years is called, at the seventh year is called a Sabbath year. So there are seven Sabbath years, and the 50th year is called a Jubilee. 50 is made up of 5 and 10. 5 is the number of grace, 10 is the number of completion. So what is God completing inside of you and me? A Sabbath rest. Why? Whose Sabbath rest? That God can rest in you, in the reality of who He is as you respond to Him. He's looking for such a place. He is looking for such a place, and that place is not made out of concrete and steel. That place is made out of human hearts. listening? All right. Now, to understand this, let's cross-reference again to Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 6. Let's read verse 5 to understand the prophetic flow in the scriptures. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. So Moses set up a tabernacle. It was called the tabernacle of Moses. It was symbolic of something that God was going to build in the future. Verse 6 says, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. We are each the house of Christ. Right? Provided we hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope firm until the end. Why hope? Hope in Jesus Christ. Why? Because that hope will purify your heart. If you keep your hope on Jesus, you will be purified. When you blow it, if you turn to the Lord and you address that what you did wrong to the Lord, there will be something that God works out in your life. See, God has got no problems with our mistakes. He has problems if we don't respond to Him. That's a problem. Making the mistake is not a problem. Not responding to Him, that is a serious problem. God wants you to respond to Him because you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works He has ordained in your life. Ephesians 2:10, right? You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for the good works He has ordained in your life. So what is ministry? The good works, right? But for that ministry to manifest, your insides must operate the right way before God. Why did Lucifer fall? Because his insides were all corrupt, correct? Why was it corrupt? Because he wanted it to be corrupt. Because he was so impressed with himself. Right? We read that last Sunday. We read it in Ezekiel 28, right? We also read it in Isaiah 14. The thought processes that were developed inside of him that stood as a contradiction of all that God had designed him to be. What did God design him to be? Son of the dawn, star of the morning, prophetic terms. Son of the dawn, star of the morning. He was meant to be the vessel through whom God will bless the angels. He was the covering cherub. Why was he the covering cherub? So that God could manifest his grace into this covering cherub. But instead of appreciating the grace of God given to him, he started having ideas of his own grandeur. He started thinking that I'm the biggest thing that ever was. Ultimately, he entered the deception, I'm even can be God myself. Right? Did he have faith? Yes, he had faith. Did he have great faith? Yes, he had great faith. But what was wrong with his faith? It was entirely false. So that's why operation stands before the Father. You are designed to function before God the Father. And you have to function before God the Father in this one reality. Hallowed be thy name. If that doesn't happen, you have no position before God the Father. The desire to hallow God the Father comes from God the Son. Right? The reality is developed in you by God the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of life. So that you can be a house before God. Correct? Listening? Right. Praise the Lord. I would like to stress again that you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. We are not talking about this from a religious point of view where you have to start sitting under the mango tree and meditating the rest of your life away, okay? We are talking about you responding to God and God doing with you something that will enable you to love God, enable you to appreciate God in such an awesome way that you will worship Him with the totality of your being. That when you begin to understand the awesomeness of the glory of His grace over your life, you will fall before God with gratitude in your hearts. That is the point that God is trying to make here. Hello? If you don't appreciate what God has given you, then you and I have the propensity to become anointed snakes. All of us have it. We have it in abundance. God has been dealing with it for a long time. It has been His workmanship inside of us. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at another verse, okay? So he's looking for a place where he can rest. And he rests in relationship. Are you with me? The fulfillment of the law is a relationship. Without that relationship, you and I have no position before God. So the cross is invitation to relationship. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So the mystery of Christ crucified is to open the heart of the Father to you. To understand that God so loved the world. We can't comprehend that. He loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What does that mean? As the Son is revealed in you, that's when you'll understand how much God has loved you. Without the revelation of the Son, you will never appreciate how much God has loved you. So as more and more of Jesus is opened in your heart, that's when you will begin to understand, my goodness, He gave Him to me. That I can have anything in the name of Jesus. That I can do anything in the name of Jesus. That I can receive anything in the name of Jesus. Powerful. Who are we to receive anything anyway? In eternity? Who are we to stand in heavenly places? We can't even stand properly on earth. We can't even stand honestly and with integrity in our limited capacities. Yet God has ordained us to stand in heavenly places over nations. I mean, who the dickens are we? Which one of us deserves it? Which one even begins to deserve it? But yet that's what God's intention is with each one of us. Look at us as we are right now. So weak, so incapable of doing so many things. Yet the Lord says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Isn't that blow your mind? Hello. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Doesn't that blow your mind? And that word is spoken into all of our lives. No matter where we come from which strata of society, no matter what color of skin we have. Powerful. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's why when you minister, you need to understand that you minister a high purpose in God. Very high purpose. And that ministry has to be operated the right way. Because if it's not operated the right way, it will go the way Lucifer went, right? A disaster. Right? A total disaster. See how many millions and how many billions have lost their lives because one angel sinned. Hello, look at the cost of it. Look at the destruction. Look at the number of angels who lost their destiny before God. That's why you need to understand how important it is for you and I to learn how to operate the right way. It's not about how big the ministry is, brother. It is how we do the ministry. It's about those two mites given in the right way. That's what it's about. It's about how God is honored from within our hearts. It is not about how many people listen and come to our meetings. It's about what's in our heart and for who are we doing it for? Whose name is being glorified? What is the intention of our hearts? Who are we doing all this for? Whose church are we building? Whose name are we proclaiming? Because if God's name is not proclaimed, then ultimately there will be death and destruction. We already know it. The creature cannot generate goodness out of itself. Doesn't matter if the creature was an angel or a man. Goodness flows out of the heart of God. Life flows out of the heart of God. Good intentions flow out of the heart of God. God's will is good. God's will is life. God's will is necessary for us to live. We need God in order to live. We cannot live by ourselves. Now, these life. Important lessons. As we get older and we see so many things disappear in our lives, what's God trying to teach us? What's the lesson in life that God is trying to teach us? That life doesn't flow out of our good intentions. Life does not flow out of our capacities and our capabilities. Life does not flow out of the fact that we are anointed or gifted. Life flows only out of the fact that we stand before a God who loves us. Life flows only out of the reality that we love Him in return. Because if we don't love Him, we will die. If He is not God, then everything will die. Praise the Lord. So when God talks about that rest manifesting within us, that rest is a very powerful word. It's a very powerful prophetic reality. Because when God is at rest, everything in the universe flows the way it has always designed to be. Everything flows in a harmony. Everything finds its rightful place. Everything flows in the way it's meant to flow. All things worship God, and God is at rest. It's a soothing aroma to Him. It's a fragrance. And what is the fragrance that our heart is supposed to produce? The fragrance of the Son. In the fragrance of the sons, we are sons. But if the fragrance of the Son doesn't come out of our heart, we are not sons of God. Cannot be sons of God. For the fragrance of the Son to come out of our heart, that can only be brought forth by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, He, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. John 16 verse 14. John 16 verse 15. Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. But He, the Spirit, will take it and He will manifest it through you, or He will disclose it through you. Whatever the words that I used. So you need to understand that this triune reality of God is so important for our functionality. Otherwise we will go off on a tangent saying we experience the Spirit is moving. Whose Spirit is moving, man? Whose Spirit is moving? What are the checks and balances? So God has built checks and balances in terms of who He is, and God has built checks and balances in terms of blood, water, and Spirit. The witness of the cross. The witness of the cross ultimately comes out of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. And the character and nature of Jesus Christ recognizes God to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit are in perfect harmony. They are in rest. We don't go off on an experiential tangent that I saw this and I heard this and I became like this and... Yeah. I once heard a pastor who said that, you know, he was caught up into the throne room of God. And Jesus was on His throne. And Jesus got off His throne and asked this pastor to sit on His throne. Hello. See, very simple, you know. When Jesus occupies that throne, He occupies that throne based on His merits. He's not sitting there simply because He sits on a throne. He's not like one of our kings sitting on their thrones. To sit on the throne that Jesus occupies Oh my goodness. Yes, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, but we are not sitting on His throne. You understand the difference? Very subtle. Experiential Christianity based on carnal desires. So as you begin to experience things in the Spirit of God, you need to understand that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King. That's why He's saying your ministry must be to the Lord. It cannot be just dedicated to this vision and that aim and that goal. It cannot be like that. It has to be dedicated so that Jesus Christ will be King. If He's not King, that ain't His ministry. That ain't His ministry. It doesn't matter what airy-fairy words you put behind it. It is not His ministry. And if it's not His ministry, it will not stand before God. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. First Chronicles. No, it is 2 Chronicles. Sorry. Chapter 6. Listen to the words again. Verse 40. Now, O my God, I pray Thee, let Thine eyes be open and Thy ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. All right? Now therefore arise, O Lord God, to Thy resting place. If you are praying right, God will rise to His resting place. Why? Because your prayer is entirely tied to His holy will. You understand that? Are you with me? So now, O my God, I pray Thee, let Thine eyes be open and Thy ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Now what is this place? You are the place now in the new covenant. In your heart, you are the house of prayer that God is fashioning. Each of us is a house of prayer. As a community of believers, we become a greater house of prayer. But in this house of prayer, there is prayer offered unto God. But what is the purpose of this prayer? So that God can rise to His rest. When He sees His people have His purposes in their hearts. Can you understand that? When man was standing before God and God saw what He had created, He said, "It is very good." And He rested in that reality until man sinned. When man sinned, God asked Adam, "Where are you?" Because God was at rest with Adam until Adam sinned. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, to Thy resting place, Thou and the ark of Thy might. What is the ark of God's might? The Son, raised from the dead. The name by which we stand. The ark was called the ark of the testament. It was called the ark of the covenant. In 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 2, it is called the ark that is of the name of God. Jesus comes and He says, "I manifested Thy name to the men Thou gavest Me out of the world." So in the Old Testament, the priest carried the ark. In the New Testament, we carry the name of Jesus Christ. Hmm? We carry the name of Jesus Christ. How do we carry the name of Jesus Christ? In the witness and testimony of Jesus, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen of God's will. Revelation 3:14. Powerful, isn't it? Think about it. The scripture is all tied up. And it's all tied up and it's all meant to manifest in each one of our lives so powerfully. Provided you are willing to allow God to be God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Ezekiel chapter 44 verse 28, I am their inheritance and I am their possession. Who is talking there? The last eight chapters of Ezekiel are a messianic vision, isn't it? It's the Messiah who comes in. Yeah? And the Messiah proclaims, I am your inheritance and I am your possession. We are those people. To us the name of Jesus has been given. Our hearts are designed to be hearts of flesh. Whose flesh? His flesh. And the tablets of our hearts are meant to be tablets of the covenant of God. In whose name? In the name of Jesus. In whose merits? In the merits of the Lamb. In a heart that carries a witness of blood, water, and spirit. Can you see that? The witness of the cross. Everything comes back to the cross. You can't go before God without the cross. So Revelation 13:8 says that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. Why? In the heart of God the Father. He knew that man would sin. But he also knew that man could be restored and man could be raised into a stature of awesome proportions through the blood of the Lamb. Blood covenant. To become a chosen people, to become a royal priesthood. So what does this verse talk about? Priests, isn't it? Let's read on. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy might. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Clothed with salvation, why? So that they could stand before such a God. And let thy godly ones rejoice in what is good. See, you have to be saved in order to rejoice in what is good. We battle with that, isn't it? Hello. Huh? We battle with that. To rejoice in what is good is not an easy thing for us. There's a part of us that wants it and there's a part of us that wants something else. But the result of salvation is when we can rejoice in what is good and God is at rest in that reality. Hello, because his sons have found their purpose. His love has been brought to fulfillment in their lives. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. They are blessed in the good and kind intentions of his heart. And he is satisfied. That's why when you go back to the temple sacrifices in Moses' tabernacle, it always talks about a soothing aroma. Soothing aroma coming from where? Not out of the blood of bulls and goats, but out of the sacrifice of the Son manifested from our hearts, because that sacrifice has been fully realized in your life and my life. Can you see that, brethren? Praise the Lord. Indeed, we are blessed. So powerfully, so wonderfully. Take some getting used to, you know, get some understanding, because our perspective is always look at ourselves. Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that. God is not asking you to look at what you can do. God is looking at what he can do with you. Because we are talking about things that you and I could never do no matter how hard we tried. Am I right? All this is open to us, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Based on whose workmanship? Based on God's workmanship in your heart. If you practice the law, you will never get out of 1 foot off the ground. Isn't it? You will keep on trying, finding out how much you can do and how much more you can't do. Always it will be like that. Yeah? That's why Paul talks to the Galatians, "You foolish Galatians, who twisted your minds? Huh? Having begun with the Spirit, now you want to go back to the law. What bunch of fools you are." Huh? After being saved supernaturally by the power of the Lord your God, you want to go back to trying to present your merits before God. My goodness. How foolish can you be? All right, let's continue. Let's go to the next chapter. Chapter 7. Before we do that, let's look at verse 42 of chapter 6. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of thine anointed. Remember thy loving kindness to thy servant David. Who is the true David? Jesus Christ, the well-beloved. This is my beloved son. David means the well-beloved. See, prophetically, so you see, David is already dead and gone. Right? He calls him thine anointed. Right? Because David stands prophetically in prophetic symbolism of the Christ who would come as the anointed one. So he says, right? Do not turn away the face of thine anointed. Remember thy loving kindness to thy servant David. And we all stand because of the merits of the Lamb. So Jesus is the root of David and the offspring of David. What is the root of David? It's the root of God's love that we have come to realize in our heart. What is the offspring of David? The offspring of his love. Who are the offspring of his love? All of us are. How have we become the offspring of God's love? In the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. So what does God want to open in your heart and my heart? The key of David. To unlock what? Jesus said, "I am the door." You listening? So that you can do all things in the name of Jesus. I am the door. In order to open the door, you must have a key. What is the key? The key of David. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard. All that God has for those who love him. Yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. All that God has for those who love him. Praise the Lord. So the Son came in order to love the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind and strength. And that reality was fulfilled on the cross. Reality was fulfilled in blood. And God swore an oath, this is covenant, that all who stand in the name of Jesus will stand as sons of God. They will be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. They will be kings, they will be a priesthood, they will be a prophetic people. They will be my sons from eternity to eternity. They will be morning stars. And nations will walk in the light of their rising. Powerful. All this comes by grace. By grace we come to understand how much God has loved us. Yeah. Now let's go to chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14, my people who are called by my name. The name Jesus is the manifested name of God, right? I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. My people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. How do you turn from your wicked ways? By setting your hope on the finished work of the cross. Setting your hope on Jesus Christ. Not by practicing the law, you will not make it. But dealing with your life in the name and witness and testimony of Jesus, you will get the breakthroughs. It will take time, but it will surely come. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Why? Because my people have humbled themselves. Why? Because Isaiah 66 verse 2 said, I look for the humble and contrite of spirit. For that man I look. God is looking for you. God is looking for you. He who could manifest light by saying that let there be light, He's looking for you and me. He's looking for you and me. He's looking for us. We are His treasure. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, the house of Christ in the new covenant, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So this is your operating system, brethren, in the name of the Lord your God, in accordance to what He sees, His eyes. What do eyes do? Eyes see. But it is about His eyes. We are supposed to see what God wants us to see. And my heart will be there. Praise the Lord. Imagine He's talking about you and me. Praise the Lord. So take care of your heart. Okay, let's go back finally and complete this session. It's not a complete session. John chapter 17, verse 26. Jesus ends His prayer. John 17, verse 26. And I have made Thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith Thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. I in them. Praise the Lord. So you are the house of Christ. And through Christ, God reveals Himself to you. When God talks about Christ, He says, "This is my beloved Son." What is He opening in the name of Jesus? His heart. That's what the prophet announced, isn't it, in Chronicles? That my heart will be there. Why will His heart be there? Because that is the place where the name of His beloved is honored. Aren't you fearfully and wonderfully made? Now, so many of us are struggling with God's call over our lives. We're looking at ourselves and saying, "Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that." You're looking at the wrong place. It's not about what you can do, because the intents of God's heart is infinitely beyond anything you and I can do. Even if we put all ourselves together, we can't do any of these things. Yet all this is the will of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are blessed in heavenly places. So listen to the word of God. God has blessed us. So as we unveil our purpose in God, watch what takes place inside of you. Watch those operations that go on inside of you. Don't deal with it lightly. It's very important that you get your insides right before God. You know, as you grow in God, you know, you can sense the moment you have a distance before God, immediately you know you've done something wrong. Immediately you know there is a distance between you and the Lord. Instantly you can feel it. You may not be able to explain it, but you know something has gone wrong. Watch the wrong kind of movie and immediately you can see the difference in your insides. Immediately you can know it. Huh? Walk down the street and look at a person of the opposite sex in the wrong way, and immediately you can sense the difference inside of you. Immediately you can sense it. I have sinned. Yeah? Yes. Why do you think you immediately sense it? Because God is hurt. You remember when David sinned, God turned to him. "Why did you sin against me? I would have given you anything you wanted. Why did you sin against me?" Look at how God addresses Lucifer. How you have fallen, O son of the morning, son of the dawn. Star of the morning, son of the dawn. What is he addressing? He's addressing his son who has betrayed him. He's addressing him from a broken heart. How you have fallen. Where I called you to be, where you should be standing, and from where you have fallen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your great and awesome purpose over our lives. Although we are taken from the dust, you have chosen to anoint us and to appoint us and to gift us so that we will function as sons of the living God, so that we will stand in high office before you, Lord, in a universe that is in the process of being created, O God. Your thoughts over each one of our lives are vast. We can't appreciate very much of what you have for us. But from the little that you open to us today, O God, we thank you for your high purposes over our lives. Although our hearts can't comprehend a love like that, yet there is a little bit that has touched us, O Lord. There is a little bit that we are able to respond to, Lord. And we know you have done a great work for that little response that we have towards you. But one day we know we will respond to you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And then we will know. Then we will know how much you have loved us, how much you have cared for us, and how carefully you have nurtured us and matured us, O God. You have watched over every little bit that happens inside of us. Things that we have never even perceived. Father, as we bow before you today, we ask you to get us right on the inside, Lord. Correct us, mold us, shape us, but let us be right on the inside. Enable us to be sensitive to you. Let the witness and testimony of Jesus be worked into us by the Holy Spirit. So that sensitivity that Jesus had towards you will be worked into us as a living reality, so that we will come to belong to you. We ask this, we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.